This is BC Worldwide, a podcast of overseas instruction and counseling. We report on the biblical counseling movement around the world. I'm your host, Andrew Rogers. Today, we take the time to highlight a very important part of training biblical counseling trainers around the world. The work of translation is crucial to equipping people from all nations. The story of OIC's translation work is the story of God's supernatural and, if you will, right on time provision of both the funds and the publishing partners necessary to create resources that have been a blessing to thousands of pastors and other Christians around the world. By the time OIC started this work, God had already provided and continues to provide biblical counseling books and other resources in Spanish, French, Russian, Mandarin, Portuguese, German, Azerbaijani, Thai, and Japanese. The concept of OIC engaging in this kind of ministry began shortly after the ministry itself was launched in 2006. The first biblical counseling-related textbook that OIC ever had translated and published was in Hungarian. In 2009, OIC began its first MABC program in Egypt. Quickly, there was the realization that there was a need for biblical counseling-related textbooks in Arabic. The first project was John MacArthur's Counseling, How to Counsel Biblically. That was published in the fall of 2010. And even as that book was being distributed to the students, a supporting church of OIC gave the funds to fund the translation of the next book, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, by Paul Tripp. Over the 4 years, God provided the funds, more than $100,000, to translate another 23 books and 36 counseling topic-specific booklets into Arabic. I've had the privilege of serving with the people who are mostly responsible for this translation work in the Middle East. Earlier this year, I had the opportunity to sit down with them and talk about this crucial ministry to help train biblical counseling trainers in the Arabic-speaking world. This is Andrew Rogers with Biblical Counseling Worldwide, and we are here with a certain aspect of biblical counseling training that maybe we don't always think about, but is absolutely necessary, and that is the role of translation. And we are in Alexandria, Egypt right now, and we have three wonderful translators that I'd like to introduce you to. And so, Sammy, if you could introduce yourself.
My name is Sameh Grace, and I am a translator at National Theological College and Graduate School.
And where do you live, Sameh?
I live in Cairo.
Okay.
My name is Samuel Ibrahim. I work as translator and also administrator in National Theology College, and live in Cairo, and okay. Just got married.
That's right.
Yes. And 1 month ago.
1 month. Yes. Not even 5 weeks yet.
No, not yet.
Not quite.
Not yet.
Okay.
Still
very
fresh.
Good.
So my name is Sherry Awad, and I work as a translator and interpreter in NTCGS, and I live in Cairo.
Okay. And so how long have you guys been working as translators?
I'm working for 6 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, almost 4 or 5 years for me.
Okay.
About 12 years.
Okay. So is this something you guys, it seems like you guys enjoy it.
Yeah.
So yes, much.
Very much.
Very much.
So you've had the opportunity of translating a lot of great books. And so tell me a little bit, if you guys would, just tell me a little bit about your translation ministry.
Well, I started with NTCGS about 12 years ago as an interpreter, then as a translator, and I felt the need to study. I studied translation and interpretation, but I realized that what I translate, no matter what it affects me. It has an influence on me. So, for example, can I give an example?
Yes.
When I translated a book called the title was Christ and Your Problems. It's a small booklet, but In my opinion, it's very powerful. This book was written by a man called Jay Adams, and it introduced me to a new perspective of looking at my bad circumstances when I have, for example, at that time, this was when I translated this booklet was exactly, I think 2010 or 2011, I don't remember, but when I read it again, this was 2011, and Egypt was in a very difficult situation. There was a upheaval and the demonstrations, and everything got quiet after this. But at that time, everybody had fears, and I can't deny that I had great fears. When I read the book, it told me about 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it told me that your circumstances are not strange to mankind. So that means that if you have passed through this tunnel, or if you have passed through this very narrow way, this means that other people have tried this before, and no matter what, God is faithful, and He will not tempt you, or you are not will be not tempted more than you can bear, and that He will make a way, or a way of salvation in the midst of this. This was very encouraging, and to know that my problem is not unique. Not only this book, but other books also, like, for example, the book Theology of Christian Counseling, also by Jay Adams.
Yeah,
this was a big one, and it took a lot of time, but I can remember many things. I know there is maybe no time now to speak about, but it is something that it is a book that you feel that you want to underline every line. It's something that, I like this sentence. Okay, I like the next sentence. And then you end up with underline the whole book, because, you know, it's practical. It tells you, and it convinces you, that the Bible, the Word of God, can really be applied to the everyday life events, the good time, and the problems when you deal with the problems. So that's why I like about translation.
And what's so great about that, again, is that everything, like you said, is that which you are translating is having a powerful impact on you.
Yes.
And how about for Samuel or Sherry, is that common even for you two as well?
Yeah, I'll talk about myself. So that translation is my first passion. So this is the thing I felt God is calling me to, and this is the thing that He called me to do, because I felt the need in Egypt that that we have good Arabic books about many topics. And so when I felt the need and I felt I had the gift, I felt God pushing me to do this more. And the good thing about this work, because it's work and at the same time it's ministry. So you do the ministry and you do work at the same time. But the good thing is that it's not you do work for others, but you do work that impacts you every day. And so it's like you are reading a book every day, and you are benefiting from this book every minute. And so, and also, I have a lot of friends that envy me, because they say, you are working in something we want all to do, that we want to read and to be impacted with the books. And so I am giving something as a ministry. I am giving people good resources for their lives. And every day my life is changing by what I am translating.
And is there any one particular book that's really stood out to you the most or had the most impact on you?
Yes. The one I remember the most is Knowing God by G.I. Packer. This is the most, it's like a theology book, but it's very practical. And so you see the theology and you see the practical application at the same time in the same chapter. And so, yeah, I remember this. And also the last thing, the pastor and counseling in the biblical counseling by, I don't remember the author, but it's pastor and counseling. So this is talking about how the pastor can do counseling in churches. And it has a lot of notes and journals to write the counseling. And so it was very practical, although I am a girl and I am not a pastor, but I used it a lot for counseling others, for counseling other people in my ministry. So this book was very, very, very practical.
That's great. That's great. Samia, how about you? Just tell me a little bit about the translation ministry.
Yeah. Translation for me very special because I found you kind of co-author with the author in translating, because you live his life and you understand his feeling, his thoughts. You go to his world and then you try to get this world to your world. It's like building bridges all the way, all the time. So it is exciting. Unlike people think, it is very personal and it has very impact to you every day. I remember you go very deep to his world, to the author world, and you find something for yourself, even if you can't translate everything, but it's so exciting. I can't say everything I feel. It's a lot I'm feeling, yeah.
And now, same with you. Has there been one book that really stands out among the rest?
My translation age is not that big, but I remember a book written by Dr. Michael Youssef. It's called God Tell Me What to Do. And it was about James, the epistle of James. He was so rich. He just picked a line or a verse and explained all these things just in this simple verse. So it was very rich. And In this journey, he walked us through this verses. It was so rich, and I remember it was so practical. It has the impact most on my life. Yeah.
Now this is I think this is a question that everyone has on their mind sometimes, because the two words get used interchangeably, and sometimes we're not sure what the distinction is between the two. So I figured I have the three of you guys right here. So now we can ask the professionals, but what exactly is the difference between interpretation and translation?
In my understanding, interpretation is the verbal translation. Is that when you, for example, when you have the speaker, he is present, he is next to you, so you have the consecutive translation. But translation is, when we say translation, we mean the written translation. When we say interpretation, we say the verbal, the spoken.
And that's very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you and I have spent countless hours where you have interpreted for me.
Yes.
And we've now known each other for roughly 7 years.
I don't know if you know this, but the first time I was exposed to studying theology was with you when maybe you don't know this, but this is the first time I learned about the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and all of this applied to counseling. And this was how many years ago? 7 years ago.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? That's great. And that's great to hear. So. Making that transition to talk a little bit specifically about biblical counseling. So a lot of the materials that you have translated has been in biblical counseling, and then some of you have had opportunities to interpret for teachers that have come and taught some of the counseling classes here at NTCGS. And so can you speak to me just a little bit about the impact that either have done or had in your life, whether it be the translation work of biblical counseling material, which you guys, just the three of you, have done so much to bring that material into the Arabic-speaking world. so Yeah, just speak to me a little bit about any impact or influence on your life, or maybe even as you've seen it influence the lives of other people.
Maybe I can talk about two things. First, a book I have translated, which is The Self-Image and Self-Promotion, which is by Jay Adams. So I like this book a lot, and it is facing a problem in our generation, is that it's everything goes around me. So I am the center of the universe, and I have to love myself, and everyone have to give me what I deserve, and blah, blah, blah. So, and I was introduced at that book with the Bible, and what the Bible says about the self and God, and who will be at the center, you or God, and what is the glory you are searching for, your glory or the glory of God. And so the Bible does not say that you must love yourself first or you will not love the other, but you can love the others even you are not, if you are not loved, and things like this. And the second thing is the problem is not the problem, the heart is the problem. And so I'm always in my life, I'm reminding myself that, so it's not people that have done this to you, it's you that you have the choice to every day choose not to react like people have done to you. So it's personal for me, that every day I face the decision, do I react that way? Do I revenge for myself? Do I speak like people speak to me? Do I choose to hate, or do I choose to not forgive, or do I choose to react in some way? And every day I remind myself, so it's all inside you and not people around you. So you are not a victim, and you are a believer, and you have all the resources and power to do all what you can. So these are the two things I can share with you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's great. Samuel, how about you?
Yeah, this very sentence, the problem not the is a problem, but the heart is a problem. This was, at first, it was very controversial to me, and it was shocking, because, like, what are you talking about, people? Because it is something strange to me. But then I found it's very true that things keep happens to you and to everyone, but it's up to you to what reaction you are taking. So yes, the problem is not the problem. It's the way you react to it, and the way you take it, and the way you what you're gonna do. This is the problem. So yeah.
And I'm going to assume that is helping a little bit in your new 1 month old marriage.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, actually, it helped. You know what? My first step was with biblical counseling. Was in my first phone call with my fiance she's my fiance. I was talking about something. I was angry, and then she said, "Yes, it is because you the bride of your heart." What? What you are talking about? Excuse me. It was something very direct. She said that because she took a course, a big course in biblical counseling. She said, "Yes, it is the bride of your heart." So it was shocking at me, but then I understood that. No, it is what she said is true. It's your heart is the problem. Yeah.
She counseled you.
Yeah, she counseled me at that time, yes.
And Sema, you've brought up a little bit, but just as you've spent a good deal of time interpreting for a number of the professors that have taught here at NTCGS in the counseling classes, and certainly translated many books. And you've shared a little bit about just the impact of theology, but as you see the biblical counseling training that's going on here, and certainly it's had an impact on your life, and you've shared that, have you also seen it just impact the students? Yeah, I mean, you've had a good deal of time grading a lot of the students' papers, and you've interacted with a number of them. What have you seen in just that, in just regard to that?
Well, I think it's enough to tell you about when I was grading an exam, when in this it was an unusual question. The question was a very simple but very difficult. The question was to tell about a circumstance in your life and tell about your, how did you react, how was your response in the face of this circumstance, and then what was the result of your reaction, good or bad, and then what did you want at that time, what was your cravings, what was your desires at that time. So, I had the privilege to grade. Of course, I am not a teacher, but I had the rubric and how to grade. I learned from the professor how to grade this, and sometimes the thing that touched my heart is to hear the testimonies and what happened, how did he react, what was the problem. And the students, it was amazing. The students wrote about real things, real situations in their lives, and very intimate things and problems that only me, maybe I know about. And they discussed how did they change when they applied the truth of the scripture on the situation, and how they were wrong at the beginning, but when they went back to the scripture and studied the truth of the word of God, and how God by the Holy Spirit worked in their hearts, believe me or not, I was crying while I was reading the papers. It was one of the moments that I can remember in my life. And I told the students, I told them, thank you for being so honest to write your inner things very deep in your hearts and how God changed you. Some people put in the exam their sins and how they were sinners and how they repented and confessed and God has changed them. It was so encouraging. It was so convicting to me. I am not that honest like them. I need to be honest like this and confess like them and repent like them. It was a very special moment.
Hmm. And so for you, what you described there is just even how watching others change and how that affects us and even helps us bring about biblical change in our lives.
I think we all need to come to the conclusion that nobody doesn't sin. We are human, and we sin. But there is a solution for this. I mean, there is a sustenance, there is help, there is hope for the believer to deal well with his problem. There is a real solution that the world doesn't offer. And I have experienced this practically and in a realistic way. And by the way, I was maybe the first one in Egypt. I mean, this was more than 7 years ago when I was exposed to biblical counseling. Of course, biblical counseling is something very old. I mean, I learned from the professor that it began at creation, but it was not called biblical counseling as we. And there was a professor. The professor is, I think, Mike Massey. And he was a professor of biblical counseling. And I didn't know what is biblical counseling anyway, but I will interpret for him. I was called to interpret, I will interpret. And something happened to me, a phone call that changed everything. While I was sitting with him, and he asked me questions, what happened to you? You look sad now after the phone call. What? So he asked me questions to ask myself, why I am sad now after the phone call? What do I want? Ask yourself, what do you want now? And I discovered, wow, if I ask myself these questions and compare my feelings with what the Word of God says, and then weigh and then measure my feelings, measure my response to this phone call according to God's, wow, this is biblical counseling. So now it is something that is really touched my heart. I cried at that time. I confessed my sin. And I learned about biblical counseling even when he didn't teach the first lesson.
That's great. And I really appreciate you sharing that. So you guys certainly just are being used in a mighty way by the Lord. The work you do is so incredibly important. And I really hope you guys just recognize that, certainly in a humble way, you know, but we still boast, but we boast in the Lord. And so there's a sense that this is a glorious work and it's an exciting work. And I love just seeing the enthusiasm that you guys have for it and just the approach that you give to it. I think you honor the Lord in a great way. And so I just want you to know we greatly appreciate you and what you're doing. And so as we close, how can we pray for you?
maybe that we have more energy for the coming time. So we are all always struggling with time, and because the translation is not an easy work, it absorbs a lot of energy and a lot of our mind and a lot of thinking, and so we need more energy to work, more enthusiasm to work, and to wake up every day and feel like, yes, I want to continue. Yes, I don't want to lose my passion or my enthusiasm for this. Amen. So we need energy. We need how to use our time, wisdom to use our time right, and to have, because we have a lot of deadlines and a lot of books to do, and we have a lot of dreams and other books we want to do, but we don't have the time. And so yes, please pray for this, for energy, for time, how to use it, wisdom.
Yes. Yeah, like Sherry said, I want to add that I want to apply everything I translate or I work on to my life, because believe it or not, unless you live out what you translate or what you work on, you can't express it in the best way. You can't translate it in the best way unless you live this. You know this word, you know this impact that the Bible has. So if you live this out, you're going to do it better in translation.
Please pray for, as Sherry said, for wisdom. Because I'm not boasting, okay, but many books are offered. I mean, people come to us, could you please translate this for us? And there are many books that people want to translate from English to Arabic. Some are good, some are, well, not very good, but some are excellent, okay? So please pray that God would give us discernment and wisdom to choose the excellent book, the books that God will use to change people's lives. We are not in this ministry for money or for gain. By the way, outside the translation, outside the ministry, will produce or will make more money. But I mean, we are called to do this, as Sherry said. So we want God to give us wisdom to choose the kinds of, like for example, just an example, the book Christ and Your Problem. I will never forget this book. I go back to it and I buy it and I distribute it and I assign it as a project for my students. I want to translate books like this. This is something that we need wisdom from God and discernment to choose the best.
We will be praying for you. And so may God continue to glorify himself through your ministry. So this is BC Worldwide, a podcast of overseas instruction and counseling. You can learn more about the biblical counseling movement around the world at bcworldwide.org, where you will find encouraging and informative videos and articles. If you would like to know more about the ministry of OIC, go to our website, discoveroic.org. Will you consider giving to the efforts of OIC to train biblical counseling trainers around the world? If so, you can give electronically through our website. Additionally, if you'd like to keep up to date on how you can pray for us, please go to our website and sign up to become an OIC Insider at discoveroic.org. I'll speak to you next time at BC Worldwide.